Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. We would like to thank you for tuning in. Join Apostle Christopher and Prophetess Crystal McQueen for a time of teaching, learning, revelation, and impartation as we go through the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, develop, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call in to the broadcast at 718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the broadcast. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkrm.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and see our upcoming events. While you're there, click the media tab during the broadcast to watch us live. We encourage you to become a vision partner with us. Our vision partners stand with us with their prayers and financial gifts, allowing us to spread the gospel across the United States and around the world. The way to true prosperity is to help and to give to the poor. Your financial gift will help us to do more to be a blessing to those who cannot do for themselves. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. God, we welcome you tonight with us right here at Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. I am standing before you none other than Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen. Good evening, people of God. It's wonderful to see you once again on this fabulous Tuesday for our Bible study night. I want to come before you this evening from the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians chapter 1. Just want to begin at a few verses in your hearing as we prepare our hearts and our minds to give thanks and praise unto God and to hear his word on tonight so that our lives may be changed, things would be established, our hearts would be opened unto him. Amen, to receive from what thus saith the Lord. And once again, people of God, I'm coming from the book of Galatians chapter 1. I want to begin at the 8th verse, and it says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." May the Lord add a blessing to his word on tonight. Amen. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. His word is blessed on tonight. Amen. We want to prepare our hearts, people of God, to go before the Lord in prayer. Glory to God. Father, on tonight, we just lift your name up once again. We thank you, Father, for life. We thank you for strength. We thank you for health. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for just being God in our lives. We thank you for your continuous love and blessings that have been bestowed upon us. Father, we thank you that you kept back the hand of the enemy. We bless you on tonight, that we, your people, are able to come before you once again. God, there's nobody else like you. We love you. We thank you. Your people praise you. We bless you because we know that you are God. And we know that our times and our seasons are in your hands. And we know that everything is going to be all right. And every situation and battle that we face, we know that the greater one lives on the inside of us than he that is in the world. We We understand, Father, that you called us to be victorious. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for being our protector. We bless you for being our deliverer on tonight. We thank you, God, for being our healer, our everything that we need you to be. You are the great I am. And so tonight, Father, we put ourselves on the altar once again. We ask that you would forgive us for every sin, known and unknown, every door that was opened knowingly and unknowingly, every place, oh God, that the enemy has tried to hold us captive. We repent of it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask, oh God, that you would begin to wash us. Do introspection, Holy Spirit. Wash us from the inside out. Wash our minds. Wash our subconscious, oh God. Wash our hearts tonight. Wash our spirits, our souls. Make us clean. Purchase with hyssop on tonight. Make us white as snow. That when we lift up our hands, when we sing a song, when we preach a word, that we will stand before you righteous in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Father, we lift up our sister Lacey and her family right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we speak that the angels will go to the hospital right now in the name of Jesus. We ask that the healing power of the Holy Ghost will begin to touch. Healing power, God. Yes. In the name of Jesus, bring healing from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. Lift her up. Out of that sick bed, God. In the name of Jesus, we decree and we declare healing, restoration, and wholeness in her body. In the name of Jesus, let her testify, Lord, of your hand of mercy upon her. In the name of Jesus Christ, let Shandanabakaya speed a recovery, oh God. Speed a recovery, oh God. Speed a recovery, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Hashandabayorokaya. Cover her in your blood, Father. We thank you tonight for victory already being won. Your will be done in this situation, oh God. Get the glory, oh God, as only you can. Get the glory in the situation. Let her testify of who you are. Let her testify of the miracle working power of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. We lift you up tonight, oh God. We thank you tonight because you are good and your mercy endures forever. We lift up our leader tonight. Hallelujah. Cover him, oh Father, in the blood of Jesus. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit rest upon his head tonight. Give him the tongue of the learned. Let him speak forth your word tonight. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for fresh revelation, fresh understanding. Help us to obey and walk in your word. We say yes once again to the will of God, to the ways of God, to the word of God, to the purposes of God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you now. We bless you because of who you are. We honor you because of what you've done. We thank you for the testimony and the victory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
Hiya.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, oh God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy, oh God. Yes, Lord. Glory. Glory to your name. Oh, we worship you. Unto the Lord, for he is good, yes, he
is good. Come on and lift up your hands and open up your mouth and praise Him. Hallelujah. We praise the name of the Lord our God. He is worthy. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Oh yes, He is. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Regardless of what is going on, family, those of you that name the name of the Lord, hallelujah, He's always worthy of our praise. You may not feel like it. You may not even want to give it to Him in your flesh. But you know, and I know as well, that our God is worthy of the praise. If you believe that on tonight, just take 10 seconds and lift up your voice and your hands and praise the name of our Lord. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy and good and great, greatly to be praised. Welcome, family, for those of you who are just now joining us. Once again, I'm Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen. I stand before you right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. We bring you greetings on tonight. Welcome to our Bible study, Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. It is a pleasure to be before you, and it's a pleasure for you to join us. Amen. We are very grateful, amen, unto God, and we are very grateful unto all of you that are with us on tonight. I want you to know there is always a word from the Lord. Amen. Our senior leader, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen, has been doing a powerful teaching. Amen. Coming out of 2 Corinthians and Romans, I believe, as well. He's been doing some wonderful, powerful things that God has anointed him to do. Amen. So we continue to lift him up in prayer. Amen. And for those of you who have leaders, continue to lift your leaders up cover them in prayer, amen, on the right and the left, the front and the back, top and bottom. Cover them in prayer, amen. The enemy is always, amen, seeking his purpose, steal, kill, and destroy. There's nothing else to it. Steal, kill, and destroy. And that's why our God has connected us with men and women of God. Amen. If that man or woman of God that the Lord has connected you with has been pouring into your soul, amen, you're seeing growth in your life. Who you were last year is not who you are this year. You're seeing the hand of God moving on your life greater than what it was before. Amen. Understanding the scriptures, you're starting to see God move in your life. Amen. Hold that up to God and your leader. Amen. So keep our leaders held up in prayer. Just a quick announcement according to our service times. As many of you know, but if you're new to this channel, please join us Tuesday night, 7 p.m. for our study night known as Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. That's Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Every Thursday night, we are here for 1 hour of prayer from 7 to 8. Intercessory prayer is every Thursday from 7 to 8. On Friday night is JM, Jesus and Me Ministry, which is our praise and worship experience. Sunday morning, family, we are right back here, 9 a.m., for our live worship service. If you are in the Brevard County area, please join myself and Chief Apostle McQueen and the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. I'll say that one more time. 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. You can also connect with us, family, if you're not in the surrounding area. Go to our website where you can also see our services as well. www.ctkrm.org. And there you can be a part of our services. But I also want you to know that if the word of God that has been preached, amen, is ministering to you, it's speaking to you, you're hearing God through the service, you're hearing God through the preached word, amen, sow into the anointing, sow into the word and the anointing that God is doing and placing and what you're hearing in your life, amen. It's not just for us, but it's for that we can continue doing what God has called us to do, and that is preach his gospel, amen. So please visit us one more time, www.ctkrm.org. There's several ways that you can also give as well. Family, you can also connect with us through our Facebook page. You can find me under Prophetess Crystal McQueen. You can find us under Apostle Christopher McQueen, or you can find us under our church, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Amen. Any one of those places, you can hear the word and any other word that has been preached in this house. Amen. Amen. So without any further ado, now it is time for the Word of God. Family, I would like for you to rest upon your feet. Grab your pencils, grab your pens, grab your notebooks, your notepads, your iPads, your iPhones, amen, whatever it is, your recorders as well. Whatever it is that you can take notes with, amen, it's always good to go back to the Word and the lessons and the notes, amen, so that you can go back and study, amen. The Bible says that our faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, amen. And that is what we are here to do tonight, is hear the Word of God and our faith be increased. Please, family, let us receive none other. We let us bless God for our senior leader, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen, amen. Let us give God a hand clap of praise for his life, amen.
Come on, give God a great praise. Come on, give God some glory. Give God some honor. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and just tell them, this is the day that the Lord has made. I've made up in my mind that I will rejoice and be glad in it. Clap your hands and give God a praise. And we are praying. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, even as we come before you, Lord, before your presence, even now that we sense your presence here, Lord, we ask that you would simply begin to touch our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our minds that we can comprehend, our hearts so that we understand that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, that our hearts don't betray us by the fault that the enemy tries to supplant there, but that we would decree and declare what you have called us to be, which is your children, who decree and declare your greatness throughout the earth. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. Let all the people of God say amen. Amen and amen. Glory to God. I am excited about what God has done. Amen. And how God has done it. And we are looking forward to the word tonight. One of the things that we have been talking about is the authority that God has given us, and recognizing and realizing that because God has given us that authority, we have to now walk it out. Look at your neighbor and just simply say, walk it out. I know it's hard for some of us because walking it out means that you stop down your path and you get on his path. Amen. This is not your agenda. This is his agenda. This is not the way you see it. This is the way that he has planned and designed it. And that means that even while we're doing that, we sometimes have to give God control, if you will, of the overall process. Amen? And if we give it to God, then we don't have to worry about how we're going to get down the road. We just know that we're going to arrive there. Amen? Because God did not call you to failure. God called you to success. And if he called you to success, amen, put up the seed, please. One of the things that we have to understand, amen, than just the placard for Kingdom Lifestyle, amen. Then one of the things that we have to understand, amen, is that when God called us to the assignment, God called us to success. See, you can't get a reward for a failed assignment, amen. And God didn't call you to fail in the assignment. He called you to succeed in the assignment. So one of the things that we have to be very careful about is putting on it our expectations and forgetting to seek the Holy Spirit for what is supposed to be accomplished with the assignment we have been given. Amen? So what we have to do is we have to understand how God has delegated that authority. One of the things that we looked at is we looked at the fact that he delegated all authority. Amen? How many of you understand that you are a governing power? Amen? You are a governing authority. So when the Bible says in Romans, the 13th chapter, 13 to 1, where we was, amen. Thank you, Jesus. When he says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, he was talking about your soul being subject to the authority that he's placed in your life. Amen. So it says, for there is no authority except from God. That means that every authority that exists, God has ordained that authority. Amen. And authorities that exists are appointed by God. Now, one of the things that we've been talking about and we've been hearing in the news and we've been hearing all over Christendom of the last years is of the authority of the presidency, amen? And I'm not going to become political at this moment. What I will tell you is that the heart of the king is in God's hands. And one of the reasons why you have to understand that is when a good ruler is in charge, the people rejoice. Amen? All right. See, somebody missed what I just said right there. The people rejoice when a good leader is in charge. But when there's an evil king or an evil ruler in charge, the people lament. And it is at that point that the children of God cry out to their father. And the Father raises up, if you will, a judge and a redeemer. Amen? We won't go into the book of Judges right now. I'll just remind you that every time there was a problem, amen, every time there was a problem, every time there was a situation, one of the first things that happened was they cried out to God. God raised up a judge. A judge came, judged the people, but delivered them from the oppression. Amen? And sometimes God has to allow us to get full of ourselves and come to ourselves so that we recognize that this is not about us. Amen? This is not about how you see it and what you feel it should be. It's always about God's plan and his agenda. Amen? God has a plan and a strategy. Amen? Mother Boyd, and then you sing like this. So you say, God has a way that is mighty sweet. You can lay your burdens down at his feet. He knows the road. He knows the way. God has a way that's mighty sweet. Amen? So sometimes what we have to do is we have to learn how to sit back and allow the Holy Spirit to take us where he's taking us, leading us, guiding us along the way. It means you don't always get to tell him where you're trying to go. Y'all missed it. See, because we want to tell God how we see it and where we were trying to go and how we feel we need to get there. And he has to remind us, listen, the authority you operate in is delegated authority. Jesus said all power, all power, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth and under the earth. Amen? So if there is a power, it was created by him, for him, through him. All right? So we have to understand that. With that being said, we have to understand that God has called us to a place that we have to begin to deal with who we are. And I was, go to 2 Corinthians 3 and 1. Amen. Thank God for my wife, Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen. We are preparing, amen, for going out of town, amen, the first Sunday of December, we will be in Ahoskie, North Carolina, at Well of, it's the Well of Joy, amen. I might have that wrong, but I won't have the pastor's name wrong, and it is Pastor Dr. Tanya Queen Melendez, amen, there in Ahoskie. And we'll be there, Prophetess Crystal, Dr. Crystal McQueen will be ministering on Friday night, dealing with intercession. Amen. Those of you who are in the area or can tune in, do so. And then on Sunday morning, I will be ministering as the Lord gives me the theme and the utterance. And I leave myself open because I might get into intercession and he take me someplace else. And I don't want to feel that I'm going to stick to a theme that I quote right now. I do know that Dr. McQueen will be ministering on intercession because that was what was asked of her for the assignment. Amen. So we submit to the house under the authority of the house, and that was what was asked. I will be ministering on Sunday morning, and then we will be coming back. Going first the last week of January, she and I will both be in Liberia. Amen. Dr. McQueen is a board member of African Women for Jesus, and they represent about 15 countries. And right now, they're dealing with certain issues and socioeconomic concerns. Because one of the things that Jesus did, and I'm just going to give you this real quick. The reason why it was important for Jesus to feed the 4,000 at one point and 5,000 at another is because people were following his ministry. Amen? And the disciples said at one point, send them away. So we don't have anything for them. And Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. In other words, the responsibility of them to receive the word is their obedience and following that word that is being ministered to them. Amen? Jesus is teaching, they're following. But now there comes the socioeconomic part of this, which is I don't have enough myself to sustain myself as I'm following Jesus. But Jesus didn't put it back on the people. He put it on the disciples, amen? So those of us who are in leadership have to understand that we can't just hoop and holler, it's good, amen? A good praise praise break is good. Every once in a while, you have to lay out and sob before the Lord and worship. But after you get up off of the floor, after you get done catching your breath from running around the church, after you get done from trying to get your voice back from singing all wonderfully, amen. I could have said wonderful, but wonderfully, after you get done doing all of that stuff, then the people still got to eat. They still got to take care of the electric bill. They still got to open up the door of the house and get in, and they still have to take care of having gas to get back and forth to work. Don't you dare think for one minute that he only came to deal with one aspect of your life, and that is you getting to heaven. Then, no, no, no. What he came to do was save you and save your soul. That's why it's important for us to understand who we are. Because people will help you when they know that your cause is right. But they know that your cause is right because they're watching you when you got off your knees, not while you were on your knees. Amen. They're looking at you after you got done shouting and you left the church. Amen. They're watching what you do. Uh-huh. Yeah, we had someone who didn't want to tell people that they were part of a praise team, because they have to live that life outside of just being on the praise team, amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you got to live it, amen? I didn't say get livid. I said you have to live it, amen? Some of y'all just get livid. You get mad about it, but you have to live this. This is not a PR thing. You come in and your hair look right and your clothes are pressed and they the right color, and we can tell that you use Clorox bleach because they so white. Listen, holiness is not the color of the clothes that you wear. On tonight, I'm wearing blue jeans and a pullover shirt. Look at this. But on the front of this shirt, it tells you who is in the shirt. It says blessed because I am blessed. So I have to live a blessed lifestyle. When I walk out of here, things are going left and right. I do not have the ability, nor do I have the right. I do not have the comfort to just let the enemy know that what he did in trial worked. Amen? That's why you have to understand who you are. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to know who you are. Now let's just read this, 2 Corinthians 3 and 1. It says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some other epistles or commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by this Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Who is your sufficiency from? It's from God. Amen. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I'm going to stop there tonight. One of the things you have to understand with the authority that's been given to us, people are looking at your letter. They're looking at your life. They're reading you. They're seeing what you're doing. No, 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 no. Not what you're saying. One of the things that I found when I was looking is that it said a child will
follow what you do. They'll mimic your actions and behaviors before they obey your word.
Okay, because some of you right now said, I talked to her and I told her, but then they saw you do something different. That's why children should never be in a grown-up conversation. You know why? Because it is confusing and it is frustrating at the same time. What do you mean confusing? Confusing is because some things that you are saying out of your mouth is not demonstrated by the behavior you model out before the child. Amen? Frustrating because when they model the same behaviors, they get in trouble. Amen? So what happens to the saint, the Christian, the newborn convert? When they get saved and as a newborn convert, born again, they desire the sincere milk of the word, but they don't get the sincere milk. They get your deeply rooted opinion from your year-long and years-long rivalries that you hold sitting in the church. Shouldn't we have let some of this go already? Recognizing that it's more important. See, this is the problem. Some of us have been fighting over the same thing so long that we forgot what we started fighting over in the first place. So what we do is we create new things to fight over, and it's based or predicated upon what we fought on before. But you don't even understand the foundation that started this whole thing. Somebody has to come back and remind you how petty it was. Well, y'all can tell the truth. It's petty because when you look at it, you have done more outside of that than the person that you've been holding it against. Oh, okay. Remember the parable that Jesus used of the man who owed so much, and the ruler called everybody to account, and he pleaded and begged, and he forgave him, and he went out and found someone or saw somebody that owed them nothing. But yet it's still a debt that was owed, and they screamed, hollered, and threw him in jail because you still owe me, forgetting what was forgiven them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what blinds you is that you have been in battle so long that you forgot what the fight was about, but all you know is to swing swords. So you look for new reasons to swing. Amen? And somebody has to remind you that he's already called us to the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, I can't go to this right now. You have to understand, we're not here to keep fights going, but to bring peace, follow peace with all men. Amen? I don't want to deal with that one in this next part, and without holiness. Because if you're going to keep all that hell up, you can't keep the holiness up too. All right. Well, he said hell because that's where you end up with all that foolishness. So let's look at this. First of all, so that you have some exegesis here, one of the things that Paul is doing is he's talking about the fact that people are asking for proof and validation of who he is. And he says here, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need some other epistle of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? So what he's saying is, listen, at this point, one of the things that I found is that one of the statistics says that it takes about 20 years to establish a reputation. It takes moments to destroy it. Okay, so to establish a good reputation, it takes at least or around 20 years. In other words, people have to see you long enough to know that you're not holding your breath anymore. This is really who you are, okay? But it takes a moment of time of you showing your attitude, demonstrating what you feel is a good opinion or some type of behavior for that reputation to be torn down. Amen? So when Paul is talking here, Paul is trying to make the point that I've been around you long enough that I shouldn't need a letter or a commendation. And he goes on to say, you are our epistles written in our hearts.
In other words, everything that we've done with you, for you, and by you, to you, is because you are here in my heart. Press the King Redemptive Ministries and friends and family and those who are part of Kingdom Convergence and that, you are in my heart. Amen. We do stuff that we do not because we're trying to come against you or we're trying to find a way to, you know, I had someone who was talking to me, and I had to tell them, the years that I've been playing at your church, I don't know none of your members because I won't interact with them like that. Why not? Because I don't want anybody to accuse me of trying to steal your sheep. Amen? You came to me because you needed help with your music ministry, and I did not think that it was something that would undermine my authority or who I was. It did not make me somebody who had to sit back and go, well, you know, I got my own church, and your people need to be over at my church. Okay, there's people who came and said, why don't you shut down your church and come and do our music? And I look at them like, so what do I tell God afterwards? What do I tell him when he says, I sent you to do this work? I gave you that as a tool, but that tool can never become the work. Amen? All right? So we have helped people, but I will not become friends with the membership so that no one says that I came over and tried to steal the sheep away. I've done that for years. You can't for one moment try to figure out when I'm going to try to split the church and take the sheep. Because obviously after 5 and 6 years, it's not there. Amen. If it was in there, hold my breath, for about 2 years, it's the length of time it would have took before you try to garner enough influence to pull people off to your private work. Amen. So you have to understand, when Paul is speaking here, he tells them, you are our epistle written in our heart. I said this one time when I was ministering at a local assembly. I told them, one of the things that you have to understand is when God sends an apostle into your midst, he sends them in as a servant, amen? We come in to serve. We come in to do the work. We demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God by our behavior. Okay? Now, there have been people who have misappropriated what an apostle is. Amen? Because when we came into this area, there have been so many shysters coming through with the title that when a real one showed up, they were skeptical of the next one that was there. We have to demonstrate that we're not the shyster. We're the people who are called by God. And it is of that response that we begin to then have influence. And with that influence, then it means that you do not recklessly at one moment throw that caution to the wind. They need to be listen to what I'm saying anyhow. Listen, God is wise enough to know what sheep know what diet. Amen. Okay, I'm just shaking my head because some of you right now, you won't listen to your pastor when you say the Lord sent you, but you'll listen to everybody else. You'll go all over the place and send your tithes and offerings off to Jakes and Creflo Dollar and Bill Winston and everybody. Joe Osteen got enough money out there, and he got yours too. Everybody else, you won't help your music ministry at your church, but you'll go to Orlando or wherever Kanye is showing up next just so you can wear white and be in his choir and say you was there, but then come back and criticize. Okay, I wasn't even going here, but it needs to be said. You'll come back and criticize the local ministry that you never lifted a finger to help get better. Kanye don't have you in his heart. Kanye is a new convert with a great platform that is looking to say who Jesus Christ is now. He's having this Holy Ghost honeymoon, if you will. But what about you who have gone through the hardships and the testing, the trials, and the Lord has kept you and sustained you, and you're at the local church, but you won't do anything there because they're not on Kanye's level? They're not on Creflo's level. Okay. They're not on Jamal Bryant's level. Do I have to go down on the names? Because when I talk to different ones who don't know I'm a pastor, they talk about what they heard from these different individuals, not recognizing that while you can support them in their grand empire, your local church is what really needs your resource. Paul's saying here, all this stuff that you're doing out here, and don't get me wrong, I appreciate that God gave them those platforms because that is their ministry. Amen? They can't do different ministries because God didn't give that to them. I'm talking about those that God gave it to and those that are supposed to be with those ones. Paul says, he says, you are our epistles written in our hearts. Let me just talk to some people right now because you don't understand why your pastors seem to be in your business. The pastor's in your business is because the Holy Spirit wakes him up in the middle of the night to talk about you and your business. Okay, so when the pastor say, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. You know, the Lord want me to tell you that don't sell yourself short. Sell myself short. You already knew that you were selling yourself short trying to be in a relationship with somebody who wasn't saved. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked. Here you are trying to make unequal equal. And he has to come and remind you that that's not equal and he didn't call you to that. But because you're burning in your flesh and in your desires, your appetite is for forbidden fruit. You sitting there playing with the enemy. And the Lord sends the pastor to talk about it or preach on it. Now you got church hurt because it seemed like the pastor preaching on you. Well, all you got to do is let the foolery go. Amen? But when I wake up in the middle of the night and he's bringing scriptures to me, I'm not sitting back trying to figure out what else about you I can talk about. Listen, I'm working out my own soul salvation with fear and trembling. We're on the way to North Carolina. We're on the way to D.C. We're on the way to Liberia. We're on the way to other places. I don't have time to sit back and look at you. You are not my soap opera. Amen? You're not my reality TV. I'm not looking at you trying to figure out what next that I can work with. If the Holy Spirit don't show it to me, I don't have nothing to do with it, except he's already placed you in my heart. So now I'm looking at the situation, and I'm interested. Lord, work it out. Give me the words to say. Help me, Lord, that I can let them know what's going on. There's a reason why I pray. Lord, open up our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, and our minds that we can comprehend. The next thing that I pray for is our heart, so that we do not misconstrue our emotions and our feelings and our opinion for God's will, way, and his design. Because the enemy works in that. You're in our heart. You're in the pastor's heart. Pastor goes to sleep and he dreams about you. Not in the wrong way, but in a constructive way to help you to get where you need to go. Because God has a plan for you. Everybody just lift up your hands and say, Lord, I know you got a plan for me. Come on, say it again. Lord, I know you got a plan for me. And because God has a plan for you, then you can't go by yourself. He did not design you and your plan to be by yourself. No man is an island. And God has established, if you will, the preacher. The preaching of the word. You know those things when they getting in your business and you mad because you think they came down your path and they speaking to you and they who told them and they always in my business. Listen, if your business isn't raggedy, then you don't have to worry about nobody being in it. Amen? All right. Look at this. How shall they, Romans 10:14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of who they have not heard, and how shall they hear you mean you just can't read the Bible yourself and get your own personal revelation? I know the Holy The Holy Spirit is trying to tell you that you need instruction. You're like the eunuch, amen. Philip came upon, and here he is reading the scroll. Philip said, "You understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I accept somebody?" Told me, and from the place where he was in Isaiah, he began to minister to him who Jesus Christ was. One of the problems that we will always have is that we want somebody to recognize us without us recognizing nobody. Because if I recognize you, then I have to concede that there is some authority that God has given you, and it might be for my making. And even if you say something I don't want to hear, I have to submit to the authority. Romans 13:1. Let's all submit to the governing authority. When God gave you the pastor, what he did was he gave you something that you needed in order for you to be constructed into something that he could use. We then become the tool to help get you into the shape and the form, amen, of God's dear son. I'm not doing this because I just want to. He called me to it. And any good preacher I know has already ran from it, amen. Drag back to it, we then begin to go through the process of being conforming. But before we can conform, there has to be a stripping down of. Because you can't build up for God based on what you put in the pudding. Sometimes God got to break it back down to the base and build it up like he wants it. So you go to school. You travel and you do everything you try to do, and then God said, "That's nothing that I wanted." And he takes you along the back road. And while you're back there, you learn lessons that you did not know that you were learning. Okay? And then he brings you to the forefront. And when he brings you to the forefront, you have revelation, but you have authority now. Because you understand some things, some hidden things about God, and some, you know, think about it. Moses did not have God's hinder parts, where he hewed out a cleft in the rock and placed him there and caused his hinder parts to come before him. That did not happen in front of the people. So God then is working on us. But he's working on us in such a way that we can be transformed before him. What was Moses' next job? He was to come down and deal with the people. It still works that way. So we go to sleep and God brings you before us and begins to talk to us about you. Why? Because he placed you in our heart. Look at your neighbor. You just said, "God placed me in your heart." You're going to have a hard time interceding for people who you care nothing about. Okay, listen, one of the problems with trying to intercede with people who you don't care anything about is taking apart what intercession really is. Intercession takes the blow so that the other person doesn't have to take it. If you don't care nothing about them, you could care less that they took a blow. So how can you intercede when you don't even care about who you're interceding for? Got to be in the heart. You are our epistles written in our heart, known and read by all men. Why do we care what you're doing outside the church? Because how you are, people assess to how we are. Oh, you mean to tell me that if you out cussing everybody out, then people think that your pastor and your church cussing everybody out too? If you out sleeping around with everybody and everything, then everybody think that your pastor and your church sleep around with everybody and everything. Is that what this word right here says? It says you are our epistle written in our heart, known and read by all men. They're looking at us, but look at this next one. It says clearly you are an epistle of Christ. How can you live a life that Jesus Christ didn't die for, when you can live the life he did die for? Oh, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:3. Ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. You mean then that I can't just live any kind of life and say I go to church? No, you can't just go to church and live any kind of life. If you go into a church that doesn't challenge you to change, you're at the wrong church. Somebody say amen. We got saved not because we were going to stay the same. We got saved so that the blood of Jesus could wash over us. And while the blood is changing us or washing over us, we can be infected, if you will, with blood-borne illness, not just the illness, the cure. Because what it does is it comes in and it washes away all the sinfulness. But it replaces it with his DNA. Amen? Now we not only look like him, we begin to develop in our members his likeness. We begin to act like him. Amen? You have to understand that all of this that is going on is because we have a responsibility to carry his authority in the earth. You are an epistle of Christ. It's not just what I do. Now this is about what you do. Don't tell the pastor he got to live right and you still working on some stuff. You have a responsibility to live right too. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to live right. Come on, say it again. I got to live right. People get upset about this because you keep trying to find a way to make this about somebody else so that you don't have to have accountability for your actions. We stopped preaching heaven and hell. We just started preaching blessing and outpours and overcoming and you know, and God's going to do this. It's going to work out. And then your haters and everything. Listen, all that stuff is good and it has its place. But the reality of it is God is going to work on you far greater than he will work on any problem you might have. Sometimes you have to understand he allows the problem because it brings you to your knees. On your knees, you'll begin to pray and cry out to him, which is what you should have been doing from relationship. Relationship is not there. Problems persist because it brings you to the same end. You're on your knees before the cross crying out to God. Somebody gonna catch what I just said right there. You mad at everybody because you think everybody hating on you, and God is just trying to develop your relationship. When your relationship is right, he can talk to you. All right. Let me just remind some of you, I come from a family of 4 boys and 4 girls, amen, next to the youngest, which means I have plenty of examples before me of good things to do and things I probably shouldn't try myself, amen? And what happens is, because of that, I see my brothers and sisters do things and get in trouble. Now, I have a choice now. I can do the same thing knowing that what got them in trouble will get me in trouble, right? Or I could choose to do something different, okay? Most times when we are looking, we're trying to do what we see other people do, and we're mad that we get in trouble. How come they get away with it? They left church and was gone for a whole year and then showed back up talking about, Lord, help me, I'm sorry. And they just loved him and hugged him around the neck and everything else. And I ain't never left. You have to be very careful not becoming the prodigal son's brother. That's it. Oh, I gotta preach on that. Because one of the things you have to understand is that when the younger son asked for his part, the Bible says that the father divided his goods between them. Oh, wait a minute, them. That means that he had his stuff too. You just never left home. Just because the other person left home and lost theirs don't mean that you didn't have opportunity to do the same. The father divided his goods between Some of you mad because even though it was in your heart to go out and fornicate, you never did. But now you try to vilify and demonize the one that went out and had the affair, and they came back with two children and sorry and trying to do stuff and going to school and got us working on them and helping them to get the education. You won't even go to school talking about, I got my degree. I got my high school diploma. I'm good. I got a good job. I don't have to do nothing different than this. God's going to give me the husband that has all of that, and he loved me, and I'm going to listen. Don't you lie to yourself. He gave them, you have the same opportunity. Now, one, I can commend him for because he tried. The other one just hated because even though he had the opportunity, he was there doing everything that he had to do to stay in the house. Both of them are still, though, his sons. Do you understand that no matter what you do, you can't get away from being an epistle read of men that someone will attribute to somebody? That's difficult, isn't it? Because the world tells you don't have to identify with nobody, knowing that there's no way around that. Brother, sister, this is not a gray area. Amen. Mama's baby, daddy's maybe, does not apply in this case. We know who your father is because you do the works of your father. Don't tell me you're a child of God and the ink says something totally different. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. When you bear the same characteristics of your spiritual parents, we know whose child you are. When you bear the same DNA of your Father who's in heaven, we know whose child you are. Why are you sitting back trying to prove to everybody else that you are part of this and I just love and this is who I am? That you can say whatever you want, but the epistle speaks for itself. Oh, somebody's not ready for this. On tablets, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is of the heart. We know where you are because of what you say concerning. I just love you, Pastor. Do you? Oh, yeah. Okay, this is hard, isn't it? I was speaking with one of our pastors, and they were sharing that one of their members was having a conversation and was trying to bring the conversation to them. And he said, why do I want to see that conversation? Well, I just need you to know that the person you think is your friend ain't your friend, and this is all that you're saying. And they didn't realize that the greater question is, how can you be a member of my church, supposed to be in leadership, and still have the proof of the conversation on your phone? Why are you sitting there having a text message with somebody who should not even, you should have shut it down as soon as it came out? But the Bible says, out the abundance of the... The reason why you can have that conversation is because your heart is telling you that this is not a problem. Don't tell me when you show up, ooh, I love you, first lady, hey, about the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So my question to you, theological question. It's what are people reading when they look at your life? Don't answer too quick. Because some of us have fooled ourselves into thinking that everything that people are seeing is somebody else's fault. And we don't take ownership of our own behaviors. What are people reading out of your life? When they look at you, what are they reading? Are they reading the graffiti of a gang member who's sitting in the pew? Or are they reading the calligraphy of someone who understands the beauty of the stroke in the writing? See, this right here is why some people come to church happy with other people, and other people watch you go to church and shake their head and suck their teeth. Could it be that what you're showing on the pages of your life don't correlate with the words that come out of your mouth? So if you can't be truthful in front of them, then surely the God that you say you serve cannot be a truth-bearing God. How many of you know that God is the truth? So we need to check ourselves. And we need to understand that our actions, our behavior, are of those who should be serving him. But we are epistles read of men. We are living words. I know that people want you to believe that the canon of scriptures is closed, but I'm here to tell you it is not, because you are still breathing. So scripture is still being written in your behavior. People are still learning new things and revelations of Christ as scriptural context based on how you are living and what you are doing. Last thing, make sure that while you're allowing yourself to be that epistle, that you do not allow your opinion to become more important than the news, the gospel. Y'all understand what I just said? When I was coming up, not telling my age, but then again, it doesn't matter. Thank God I made it this far in life. Some people I know didn't make it at all. Amen. One of the things we had was the paper would come out, and the paper on the front page was all the news, and you could read the paper from the front to the back, from importance into different other areas. So what happened is, on the front page news was the most important news that everybody needed to know. And then as you went back into the second section, it was more of local news. The front page might have been world or national news. The second section had more of the local state news and things like that. But in that place right there, there was a page of opinion where people wrote into the editor and gave their opinion. And see, this is the problem, is that some of us have an opinion that we know is in that section of the paper, but we try to put it on the front page instead of allowing it to stay in this opinion place. So now people read your opinion as the news. In your epistle, your front page is the gospel. It is the good news. Amen? Your opinion should be someplace in there, but it should never supersede the gospel. Y'all follow what I just said? Make sure the gospel stays the primary and everything else stays an advertisement and an opinion. The thing about the page of opinion is that people had different opinions, and sometimes people would refute each other's opinion on paper. Well, I think that this, that, and other, and that's how I see it, you know. And based on this, that, and other, that's why this is a great opinion to have. And someone else said, yeah, but that was faulty information. And besides, I was there and I saw this and had the conversation and they spoke this, that, and other. So the opinion that you had does not bear up to the reality. And sometimes the opinion you have of your sinful life and others do not bear up to the good news. If the blood doesn't work, let us shut down every church. If people can't change, let's quit this foolery then. But if this foolery works because the blood works, and if through the preaching of the gospel he changed the hearts of men and saved souls, then I will preach this gospel. I will still plead the blood of Jesus. I will still live the life because I recognize that my life is an opinion or my life is an epistle being read of men. Amen? Come on, clap your hands and give God a praise. Come on, y'all know I'm not done. I'm just going to quit. Come on, prophetess, take us home. God bless you all. Keep us in prayer as we are preparing for Hosty, North Carolina. I know that God is going to do some great things for us. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, give God a praise.
We give his name praise and glory and all that God has done, family. We pray tonight. Amen, that you understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives. It's not the man, it's not the woman, it's the power, the word of God that destroys yokes, and it has been continuously destroying yokes throughout eternity. Amen. Amen. So we thank God tonight that you have joined us right here at Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. I want to invite you back again to come and hear another word from the Lord. Amen. Bible study is very important. Amen. This is where you have the time where you can ask questions. This is the time when you can ponder. This is the time where you can, as the Bible says, line upon line, precept upon precept, let every word be established. Amen. And this is the time where you can hear the message come forth and the scriptures come forth, and you're able to study in your own time. Amen. And receive what the Lord has to say to you personally. Amen. God is always speaking. We just have to be in a place where we can hear him, tuning into his frequency. Amen. Amen. Listen, I want to just thank all of you for joining us on tonight. Please meet us here again. For those of you who are in the area, prayer is from 7 to 8 every Thursday. Friday night at 7 is JAM, Jesus in Me Ministry, our praise and worship experience. Sunday morning at 9 a.m. is our live worship service. 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 is our location. Or you can see us on www.ctkrm.org. And do not forget that if the Word of God is speaking into your life, the word has touched you, is ministering to you, don't be afraid to sow into the anointing. Amen. Sow into the word that God has been speaking in your life. Amen. We bless God. With all that being said, we bless God for his favor. Let it continue to shine, his face to continuously shine upon you, his hand of mercy and grace continue to guide you. The communion of the Holy Spirit will lead you and give you peace. Amen. In everything that you do. With all that, From my heart to yours, Chief Apostle, Christopher McQueen and the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries family, we want you to know that we love you. God bless you, and we'll see you again soon. Be blessed in his name.